the name of Jesus Christ, who is able to work wonders in every land and in every home and heart, and with a single word to loose all our bonds of adversity, and who is to merit the worthy praise that he has done all things well, ever most blessed and adored with God the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. O hosts with might excelling, with praise before him fall, praise him forever reigning, all you who hear his word, our life and all sustaining, my soul, O praise the Lord. The deaf-mute man that Jesus heals in today's gospel is in this region called the Decapolis, or the 10 small cities by the Sea of Galilee. They are in Gentile territory. We've been here before this Trinity season, as Pastor Meyer pointed out in his sermon on the feeding of the 4,000 about a month ago or so. In this region, Jesus had previously healed a man with a legion of demons in him. Jesus drove the demons into a herd of pigs. The pigs then rushed over the cliff and drowned in the sea. The people were afraid of Jesus. They begged him to leave. The man freed from the demons wanted to follow Jesus, but was told by Jesus to stay behind instead and tell everyone all the great things that God had done for him. Jesus wanted the man to preach this good news. These people needed to hear about Jesus to trust him. And the man apparently did as Jesus asked. Now, as Jesus returns sometime later to this same region, the people of the Decapolis, once afraid of Jesus and afraid of his power, now know and trust that Jesus is willing and able to help their deaf-mute friend. They now come to him. After this healing, 4,000 of these Gentiles will then follow Jesus 3 days, listening to him, and they will be fed with miracle bread from heaven's bounty. It all started with someone inviting and telling about Jesus. Come and see, come and hear him. People are depicted in the Gospels doing this all the time. Remember the friends who lowered the paralytic down through the roof to get him to Jesus, despite the crowd that was with Jesus in the house? How about the centurion with great faith who interceded to Jesus for his paralyzed servant? You say the word only, Lord, that my servant shall be healed. Remember how Andrew brought Peter to his brother to Jesus, and how Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus with an insistent, you come and see if anything good can come from Nazareth. All of these have something in common. They have heard a good word about Jesus. They bring their friends, like the crowd at the Decapolis. There is no greater love than to invite and bring your friend to Jesus. And it is not hard to do. It requires only that you have a friend, that you know where Jesus is, and that you bring your friend to where Jesus is. Your friend can be your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your relative, neighbor, your teacher, your classmate, your coworker, your friend who needs Jesus. You have friends who suffer from all sorts of problems. You do too. You can't fix them. You wouldn't even know where to begin most days, but Jesus does, and he will. He is both willing and able to help people in their need. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And it is love, pure Christian love, to invite and bring your friend to him who laid down his life for us all. The man who was deaf and suffered from an impediment of speech had some really good friends. They were powerless to help him. They couldn't do a thing for him, but they knew who could. They heard about Jesus and they brought him there. Here at the Divine Service is where Jesus is. and the people he calls his children. The first words spoken under the sign of the cross are, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is called the invocation. At these first words, we call upon God in the words of our baptism. We lay claim to the promise that God has made to us when he named us and joined his name to ours in the blessed water that is connected to God's word. So here we are gathered, we say, in the invocation, the people of Jesus and his promises. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And again, Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." Jesus is wherever his gospel is being purely proclaimed and his sacraments rightly administered according to his word. So he says, and so we believe. And his ministry is glorious. It is, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, the ministry of righteousness that gives life. That's what the deaf man's friends gave him. By loving him enough to bring him to Jesus, they gave him life. Life for today and tomorrow and beyond. Then looking up to heaven, Jesus groaned and said to the man, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were open, the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly, orthodoxly, rightly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. We note how Jesus responded to the man's need. He took him aside from the crowd. Jesus meets the man where he is and through signs indicates to the man that he would be giving him the ability to hear and to speak. And then Jesus looks up unto heaven and groans. He signals that he is doing God's work from heaven for the man, that he is overcoming the effects that sin had wrought on the man. But when Jesus continues on, the next thing he does, he speaks. He says to the man, "Ephphatha, be opened." The power and the miracle wasn't when Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears or when he spat and touched the man's tongue. It wasn't when Jesus groaned and looked up into heaven. Jesus opened the man's ears and loosened the man's tongue at his speaking. By his word, he showed mercy. Here was the ministry of righteousness, the ministry of the Spirit that gives life back to a fallen and decayed world, to fallen and sin-sick men and women. By his word, Jesus gives the man what the man needs, and by his word preached about him, they had all been gathered to Jesus in the first place. And by his word, he fulfilled the love the man's friends had shown for him by bringing him to Jesus. Now, however, Jesus does this strange thing to this no doubt overjoyed and astonished crowd. With their friend healed, Jesus tells them, "Remain silent, tell no one." Why? It was not yet time, for Jesus had not yet fulfilled the law and redeemed the human race. By preaching about Jesus at that point in time, they would leave out the message of his suffering and death for the sin of the world. They would be distorting his true work. He did not come into the world to provide healing as a prelude to death. The formerly demon-possessed man, the healed paralytic, this formerly deaf-mute man, they all died to this temporal life, eventually. What good are the faculties of a clean mind and spirit, of being able to walk, of hearing and fluent speech, for people who will sooner or later lose all these faculties in death? Jesus' love and mercy are greater than what he gives in these glorious healings. He came into the world to do the unthinkable, to deliver you, his people, to save sinners from their sins by bearing all their sins on the cross and removing them from you. God does not desire to treat us as we merit. Instead, he sets his anger by, and as high as the heaven above us, as dawn from close of day, so far, so far, since he has loved us, he puts our sins away. This is Jesus' glorious ministry of righteousness, a ministry that brings eternal life to every nation, to all who believe on his name, to you and to your friends. That ministry of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ goes out now at his blessing and at his command, and the risen Lord raises men up to preach in his many harvest fields. And we have been visited here in recent years by missionaries to Taiwan and the Dominican Republic and Togo and Ghana, and at the last Sunday of this month, we will hear about the ministry in Kenya with our former vicar, Walter Steele, who is now called to go there and teach future Lutheran Kenyan pastors. Jesus opens ears to hear with his gospel of life and salvation in him, and he does it all around this world, here at home, all corners of the earth. And he does bless your efforts here to bring your friends to his saving word, even when they seem to ignore it, maybe rebuff it. God's word on God's time opens ears to hear and believe his gospel and to save. Jesus Christ can all do that, and he does it. What he did so long ago when he went to Calvary to suffer and to die is what he gives you right here and right now every time you gather in his name. The sin that blocks your ears from hearing God and that keeps your mouths from singing his praises is forgiven whenever and wherever you hear his gospel, his words of absolution, the words of his sacrament given and shed for you for the remission of sins. Those words are your ephphatha, your be opened. Truly, he does all things well, said those amazed people. The more Jesus asked them to keep it on the down low, the more zealously they proclaimed it. But now is the time to match that zealous sharing of the good news in Jesus Christ, because you have a word to share that is something far, far greater than they had. You have the comfort of everlasting life in a risen Jesus Christ. For now is the appointed time, and now is the day of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.